This is Strong Tower Radio Today's network special broadcast, a program that deeply explores what the resurrection meant then, now, and forever. Our program is Resurrection Then and Now. This is the second of a five-part series exploring the real-time evidence of Jesus' resurrection, the justification for our sins, our release from the power of sin grip, and Christ's judgment and intercession for our sins and the second coming. And today's segment, again, is the resurrection and our justification. Pastor Jay is with us. He's our associate speaker here at Strong Tower Radio, a retired pastor and administrator. And Cam Ferguson is the Director of Development, and I am yours truly, Tom Majeure, the Marketing and Production Manager for Strong Tower Radio. Pastor Jay, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Yes. Our Heavenly Fathers, we consider now the resurrected Christ, who was resurrected for our justification, who was resurrected that we might be forgiven, who was resurrected that we might stand blameless before you, who was resurrected so that we could come up on the morning of the resurrection or be translated without this carnal nature, without our sins, and live forever. We are so happy, Heavenly Father, to discuss this marvelous topic. We pray that you'll be with us and with our listeners as we discuss about Jesus resurrected for our justification. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Listeners, the first episode of this, the facts about Jesus' resurrection, the manuscripts, the archaeology, the consistency of Scripture, and the biblical account brought joy to our hearts as we reviewed those. Now, today, we're going to look at the justification. What did that mean? How did that impact us? And how does our life change from that? Cam, will you introduce today's subject?
Yes, Tom, thank you. Romans 6:23 reminds us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And resurrection and justification, resurrection and forgiveness are inseparably linked, and there's no way to really separate them. Because think about, Paul also says that we are saved by Jesus' life. And why did he say that? Because Jesus' life had to be perfect in order for his sacrifice to be effective for you and I. And if his sacrifice, his death, is effective, if his life is perfect, then it would be an injustice for him to remain in the grave. And so when Jesus resurrected, it indicated that the sacrifice was perfect, is perfect, and is applicable to all who accept it. In fact, it's applicable to all, but it's not something that we can benefit from unless we accept it as our own and seek to follow Jesus Christ. And here we have in John chapter 5, says, I say to you most assuredly, he who hears my word, this is Jesus speaking, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. And so all through Scripture in the Old Testament, it's looking forward to the promise of the Messiah. In the New Testament, it's looking at Jesus as the real and living fulfillment in the Gospels as he's walking earth and showing us the character of God. And then through the epistles and Acts, looking back as well as looking forward to what Jesus would do for his church, through his church, leading to his return. And so the resurrection for our justification is a matter of, do we believe what Jesus said all through Scripture, that his sacrifice is sufficient to cover my sins and your sins?
You know, the depth of this whole series is amazing, and it will get richer as time goes on. Pastor Jay, could you follow up on that?
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate Cam's opening remarks on this. And I'll go back to that text again, where Jesus says that he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. So even though death may come along, if we're justified by this living Christ, even though death may interrupt, it's not a permanent interruption. We're going to come back to life. And he says, and shall not come into judgment. That's justification. In other words, we are guiltless when Jesus, the living Christ, applies his death and sacrifice to us. Then we become blameless. We become guiltless, and we don't enter into judgment. Isn't that what every person wants? I mean, we live in a world where there's always the blame game, where somebody's always trying to make people guilty, you know, all this woke stuff where you're guilty of racism if you're even born a certain way or whatever, and you can never get forgiveness, and this is the kind of mindset. What a horrible world. But Jesus says, no, you may have been a sinner. You may have done terrible things, but I've paid the price. And if you put your trust in me, I'm alive. I'm resurrected. I'll apply it to your life. I give you eternal life right now. And death is only an interruption. It's only a sleep. I'll wake you up in the morning and you will not be blamed. You will not go to judgment because you have passed from death to life. That's because we are justified by this risen Lord. And then, of course, he goes to focus on the resurrection itself, Cam. Hey, in verse 25, for instance, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. They hear the living Son of God. They wake up from death's sleep, and they live because they're justified, because Christ has justified them. So this living Christ, this resurrected Christ, means everything to every human being right now, because we can be justified right now, even though we're living in a sinful world, even though we're all sinners, even though we've all done things we wish we hadn't and that we're ashamed of, even all of those things that are there, we can be justified by this living Christ because he's the resurrected Christ.
Amen.
Cam, you said something in our discussions that both the justified, which would be those who accept Jesus' sacrifice, are raised, but also Jesus himself, and they could not be kept in the grave. Rehearse that to our audience.
Well, Jesus could not be kept in the grave because his life was perfect. And if he is not resurrected, it's an injustice that is committed against him. A innocent being cannot be held by death. It's unjust, and God is just. He says so himself, and this goes beyond the context of planet Earth to the universe itself, which God has created. And he says, I do all things righteously, and therefore an innocent person cannot be held by death. They cannot be denied their life. And so the resurrection of Jesus is a testimony of the validity of his sacrifice, the perfection of his life. And therefore, Paul says, we are saved by his life, which was sufficient that his death becomes our substitute. And as we'll talk about in a future program, also our surety that we will, by his grace, never give place to sin again and be safe to save.
I like the fact that it's that those who are justified, those who are covered by Jesus' sacrifice, their sins are washed away, and so they're innocent.
Yes.
But Jesus is also innocent, so neither the justified, those who accept Jesus and for covering the penalties for their sin are raised, and Jesus himself. So both Jesus and the righteous will be raised, and so no one is under that penalty, under that judgment, which is a permanent judgment.
Right, and so Paul says this is how God can be just and the justifier of those who believe in Jesus.
So he administers the justice, and then he redeems them, and so just and justifier, both parties.
And the context of that is Satan is the one who's accusing. Notice Jesus in his life numerous times pointed out either directly or to his disciples regarding their behavior, said, "You're an accuser of the brethren. You have not the Spirit of God in you." And Pastor Jay made mention of this current context we have in our culture of driving people's mindset and thought patterns based on, I'm going to accuse you of something enough that it's going to intimidate you to change the way you think or at least behave in public and maybe even in private. And that approach is not godly. It's leading by accusation to intimidate, to change behavior. And God says, no, come let us reason together. I give myself, and I had said in our previous program that God gave himself fully, and he wants us to give ourselves fully to him. Well, that was past tense, and that's actually not the most accurate way to say that. God continues to give himself for us every day, sustaining our life. And shall we lead by accusation, or shall we lead by invitation and example? I have found the fairest of 10,000. Come, let me take you to him. Instead of, if you think this way, you're a this or a that, and I'm going to shove you into a hole because I've categorized you. So the world today is more and more behaving after satanic principles instead of godly principles. And that's why he's raising people up and ministries up to call people to the better way, the Amen. Way of Jesus.
Let's look at Abraham and justification by faith in Romans 4. Pastor Jay?
Yeah, maybe before I go there, I'd just like to make another comment on this whole issue of death and justification and the resurrection and the saints. The law of God, according to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, is a law of life. He actually calls it the law of life. He actually calls it holy, just, and good. Therefore, you can only come under the power of death if you actually break that law. If you don't break that law, then the grave has no power to hold you, or it cannot bring you under its power. Since Jesus paid the price for all of us, and he's worth more than all of us put together, that's why his one life could pay for all of our life. So he paid that price. He died for us. When we accept him by faith, he also, as Cam pointed out, lived a perfect life. So when we accept him by faith, we accept his sacrifice. His sacrifice pays our penalty. So we are cleared now, and his life becomes our life. So we are bound up in Christ. So when God looks for us, he doesn't see us. He sees Christ. And he says, well, what are they doing in the grave? They're justified. Christ is justified. You got to bring them up out of the grave. So we are brought up, even though we are forgiven sinners, we are brought up in the morning of the resurrection based on the resurrected Christ and his perfect life. Because by faith, we are hidden in him. And that's why on the resurrection morning, you cannot keep a justified, forgiven sinner in the grave because God doesn't see him. He only sees Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
So let's talk about Abraham just a little bit. And we want to talk about how Abraham became justified. Now, Abraham was justified long before the cross. He was given the promise of a seed that Sarah and he would have a baby, and through that baby would come a seed that would be a blessing to the entire world, would be the Messiah. In that process, God says that Abraham believed God, and that because he believed God, God counted it to him as righteousness. Now, that happened to Abraham before he was circumcised. So, in essence, you're defined as Jewish if you're circumcised. But this happened to Abraham before he was circumcised, which means that Father Abraham is the father not merely of the circumcised, he was circumcised later, but he's also the father of the uncircumcised. And the only commonality is not circumcision. The commonality with Abraham is faith in the word of God and in his promise and in the promised seed. So if you put your faith in the promised seed that Abraham was promised, then God says, I'll justify you based on that. So everything, our justification hinges on that seed, which was the Messiah who would come. So by putting our faith in this Messiah that was promised to Abraham and by whom he was justified long before the cross and long before the resurrection, we then get the same benefits. We become heirs with Abraham according to that mighty promise. And that's what the grace of God is all about. And this is how God gives life to the dead. Now, I want to go to a text here, and it's in Romans chapter 4, verse 16. And it says, therefore, it, justification, is by faith that it might be according to grace, something we don't deserve, so that the promise, that's the promise of the Messiah, might be sure to all the seed, that's the people who believe, who have faith. Abraham's a father of the faithful, Jew and Gentile, not only those who are of the law or who are Jewish, but also of those who are of the faith of Abraham, Gentile, who are not circumcised, but they have the same faith as Abraham, who is the father of us all, Jew and Gentile. As it is written, Paul goes on, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead, and this is very fascinating, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So even though we are given justification and we die, and it may look like we don't exist for the moment, we're asleep in the grave, we're not alive, God still counts us as though we exist because he's going to resurrect us at the coming of Jesus. And that's where our hope is at. Our hope is in this Jesus, this resurrected Jesus who justifies us. And without him being alive, he can't justify us. But because he is alive, he's able to justify us and to bring us back from the dead.
Listeners, we are following along on the resurrection then and now. This is the second episode of a five-part series, Our Justification, a wonderful subject. We will be back with Pastor Jay Gallimore, Cam Ferguson, and yours truly, Tom Majeure, after these messages.